Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Well, what about we lost Ozzy Osbourne? I mean, what a fucking huge loss. And I never realized just how loved the guy actually mm-hmm. was. Like, people really fucking loved him. Mm-hmm. And
I couldn't name one of his songs, I don't think.
Yeah, War Pigs, great song. Right.
Can you sing it?
Yeah. What is it? People gather in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Fucking amazing. Down, 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 down. So I grew up with all that stuff, you know, because my brother was a rocker.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was infamous, obviously, for biting off the head of I think it was actually a pigeon at a record company's boardroom meeting. But he was all about the shock. You know, he realized at that moment, fuck, this is all about shock, mm-hmm. you know, about shocking people. But I don't know whether you ever watched any of the shows about his family.
I don't remember.
There was a couple of kids stayed out of it, and then there was a couple of kids.
There's only one kid stayed out of it, wasn't there? Is there three altogether?
Oh, I don't.
Kelly, Jack, and then there was another one.
I think she stayed out of it. But that was just such a great show because it was just so lovely. You know,
I don't remember. I know that I would have watched.
It's actually well worth a watch because you just got to see how funny he was and how lovely he was. You know, I remember they had loads of dogs, and one of the dogs had shit on the staircase, and he's like. Fucking hell. I can't do his accent. What was his wife's name?
Sharon.
He's like, Sharon, the dog's after shitting on the staircase. Looks like a fucking alien on the fucking staircase. And so he was someone who just didn't give a flying fuck, you know? But he was just so beautiful. Like, he was just a really, really good human. And the last show that he did, like, they wheeled him out on stage in a wheelchair. He did a full show. And then every cent of it went to charity, and a lot of his shows, they just donated all the money to charity, you know.
There was a bit of an uproar, I think, because Justin Timberlake, did you see what happened with him?
No.
He
anything for controversy.
Well, he basically started singing, put the microphone down, and then let the audience, and they were like, Ozzy Osbourne on his last show was belting it out, and you haven't even picked up the microphone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's her name did that as well when she had lost her voice, and they, you know, what song is it? And I will always love you.
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston
Australia. Do you know who wrote that song?
In Australia, no.
Dolly Parton.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dolly Parton wrote that.
Dolly.
I'm pretty sure it was Dolly, yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. And she's then Whitney just made it her own.
I mean, how the fuck is she still alive?
Yeah. Her husband, long-time husband, just died recently.
Wow. Did you know that one of her mates stayed with her for about 8 weeks?
Really?
Yeah, it was one of her basically a hand at the house for 8 weeks and was very close with her. Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, said,
you can tell me afterwards.
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards. But she like sang her praises, said she was really amazing. Like,
she's
really,
apparently, I know where this is complete because we haven't got even started our topic, but apparently she's written a song that is not going to be released until after she's gone or until a certain date.
Really?
Yeah. I think so. I think that's her.
Wow.
Yeah. She's got a whole, like, she's got Dolly Land and she's got lots of.
Dolly Land?
Yeah. Is it Dolly Land or something
really?
Like that?
It's like
Disneyland. like a theme park.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. She's got lots, yeah.
How clever. Like her. Oh, such an interesting story.
So what are we talking about today?
We were going to talk a little bit about.
We're going to talk about breakthroughs.
Yeah.
Like about actually breaking through and actually talking about. What a break. I mean, you and I have been spending a little bit more time on socials, which is a new thing for us. Mm. And I think as I'm on there and as I'm communicating some of what the message is, I'm getting clearer and clearer. I mean, we've always been clear. We've been doing this for 23 years now almost. So it's not like we don't know what we do, you know, because that's what the game is about. That's what everything that we're about is giving people an experience of a breakthrough. But then when you have to translate that to people who haven't heard about you or don't know what you do and you have to actually communicate what is a breakthrough, it's a very interesting place to be, you know?
Because so many people have a convoluted view of what a breakthrough is.
What do you think their view is?
I think the best analogy that we use all the time is moving the furniture on the Titanic. And people think that they're having – like I had one of my clients say to me today, you know, I'm journaling. Do you think I should journal? And I'm like, Well, there's journaling is fraught with danger because a lot of the time there's seven ways in which we create a reality: what we think about, we bring about; what we feel about, we bring about; what we speak about, we bring about; what we write about, we bring about. So writing is one of the first forms of creation. And if you are sitting down and you are writing things and, you know, talking about your pain or talking about, you know, what you're pseudo grateful for, or, you know, and you're trying to, you're breeding that into your reality. You're creating that into your life.
I think it depends on what you're doing.
Coming from an unbalanced perspective, especially when you're coming from what you perceive to be a damaged perspective. But if you understand that when you are writing something into existence, so when you're bringing it into existence, you are communicating with your highest self, and you are trying to build a link between your highest self and bringing it into reality and into humanity. So your highest energy comes through you, and it doesn't happen to you. It comes through you, and you are the filtering system that broadcasts that into the world. So if you are unclear, or you perceive that there are certain things that have gone on in your life that you're unclear with, and you're trying to write your way out of that. Like, I've never seen a person sit down and write into existence anything when they come from a damaged perspective, other than more damage. And so
you think you're using journaling as the idea that you're trying to create something. I think a lot of people use journaling as a way to process their what's happened. Like, it's a way to externalize or take it out of the, you know.
But the problem is that.
But it's not having a breakthrough. I 100% agree with that.
But also, it's not actually, that's not helping.
Depends on what the helping is.
Because you still perceive, you still haven't broken through. You still have this glass ceiling that you're hitting, and all you're trying to do is process what has happened within that glass ceiling of inertia. You're just processing and doing the same thing. And it's a bit like going and sitting with a psychologist. All you're doing is repeating the same. The reason they get you to keep talking about the story is, first off, because they're trying to get you to nullify the story. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get you to keep talking about the emotion, so the emotion
doesn't have the same hold on you anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same hold, and it doesn't have the same amount of potency, and it hasn't captured your ability to express yourself. But all you're doing is you're just fucking opening and closing the blinds on a burning house. That's not a breakthrough.
Okay, yeah, 100% with that.
And it's same with journaling. Journaling is not going to break you through. Journaling, all it's doing is the same thing. Journaling is a bit like, you know, people go, I write down the things that I'm grateful for. When you're truly grateful, there's no expression. There's nothing.
Well, there's no words. There's nothing you can say that ever gives justice or value
speak,
to
nothing. That. There's nothing. And in that moment, you realize there's nothing to write about.
So
there's nothing for me to say. There's nothing for me to do. I see it.
So that the concept of your what you've just said there, just to summarize, is that somebody's asking, will journaling help? And journaling is not leading you to a breakthrough, is what you're saying. Mm. I think everything that you do to help you process in whatever way, I think, great, but it's not. If you really want movement and if you really want the shift, you actually have to know what a breakthrough is.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between processing and coping.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
So I think that what people are
doing. And just managing.
Yeah. Why the fuck would you want to just manage?
Well, I think, here's the thing though, Mitch. People don't that's what people are trying to do. People who have no awareness of what a breakthrough is.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do. That's what they think they need to do, because what they're dealing with just as an example, I was speaking to a client the other day because we were doing the seminar, and I was helping her to break through, right? Now, she was a bit resistant to having that breakthrough, and the reason she was resistant is because she felt that the only potential option for her was opening up a bag of worms or a can of worms and then having to go out in the world and deal with the same thing that she dealt with coming in. So in her mind...
Okay, so you're best to just clarify that a bit more, what you mean by that.
Okay, so she was resistant. By resistant, she said, I've accepted my mum the way she is.
Yeah.
That I can't change her.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. And if I start to talk about this and if I start to go through this in what you are labelling a breakthrough, but in her mind she didn't understand because she was pre-breakthrough at that point. She said, I'm just opening up a can of worms and I can't – then what do I do? I've just got to come back. I'm opening up. I'm going to feel emotion again is essentially what she's saying. And I'm going to create this space and I've just learnt to deal with it. So because she didn't understand what a breakthrough was, in her mind, having the communication, going down that pathway was just going to open this up and then she would have to relearn how to cope again.
So I know who you're talking about.
So can I just explain then the analogy I gave her and I said here's – and she said, oh, because she used the words that it was opening up old wounds.
Right.
And I said, really good. I said, let me give you an analogy that one of our clients gave to us many years ago. And this client, you know, we did a podcast with her ages ago. Her name's Sam, which you know, and she was a psychologist, landmark leader, all that stuff, and she came to us for some – pretty intense stuff that had happened in her life, right? And she said, everything that I did to help me deal with this was really good. She said, but it was like a Band-Aid over a wound. And so what it did is it gave me the ability to cope. So the psychology, landmark, all the other things, it gave me the ability to cope.
Which means to operate in the world.
To operate in the world, dealing with this wound and a Band-Aid that was over it so it didn't get affected or didn't get scratched or didn't get reopened in any way, okay? And she said, the difference as soon as I got a breakthrough with you guys was that instead of needing a Band-Aid, I realized there was no wound.
Yeah.
And because this girl that I was speaking to the other day had used the language of wound, I gave her that analogy and she went, okay, so you're telling me you can show me there's no wound. I've never had somebody say that. I don't know if that's right. And so from that point, she allowed me to talk her through the process and she got to the point where she got, oh, my God, there was no can of worms to open because there was no fucking wound and I'd never seen it that way before. And so people who don't understand what a breakthrough is, their concept is – in my view, I might be incorrect. It's been years since I've been the person who never had the breakthrough. So it's been 23 years since I had my breakthrough. So I'm doing my best to remember. But for me, I remember that my life felt like it was an ongoing circular spiral, like a hamster wheel, that I would deal with something, but at the end of the day, I was still on this wheel. I was still not shifting. I hadn't broken through with my concepts. So it felt like I was in the same spiral, even though I had read books, learned how to cope, done all these things, getting through okay in life, not bad, do you know what I mean? But I hadn't had a breakthrough. And the way I imagine it or the way I see it is that people prior to breakthrough and prior to having that experience, what they are doing is they don't understand that there is a place out there that they can experience their life, they can perceive their life, what's happened to them, regardless of how good, bad, indifferent they perceive their life to be as anything other than what they've perceived it to be. Mm-hmm. So their concept is that it's a coping thing, that I'm going to be okay okay.
That's the thing.
Not okay.
The personal development industry is not actually a personal development industry. It's a coping.
It's a coping mechanism.
It's an industry where people learn tools to manage their perceived injustice, perceived trauma, and that's not what the ancients were teaching. That's not what breakthrough actually is. Breakthrough is actually being able to connect with the highest part of yourself, actually connect with it, actually have that, oh my God, where it shows you there never was a wound. There never was any damage. Everything that happened was an absolute part of the perfection of who you are. Now, I just got off the phone with a new client that's coming through as a personal client of mine, right? Mm-hmm. And even when I'm explaining this to her.
So she hasn't done the breakthrough yet?
No, she has had the experience, but she's trying to experience it based on a fact that she's left her career.
Okay, got it.
So I'm saying to her, if you're not clear, if you don't break through on how important a career was to you and that you leave at any level of emotion, like fuck you, fuck this, they did that, they didn't understand me. If you leave at any level of that, that's what you're going to walk straight back into, because that's your next blessing, right? So I said, you've got to do an equilibration on why you left, which was being congruent and being incongruent.
Yeah.
So they were incongruent, right? And she perceives they were incongruent.
So then, she's got a breakthrough on that concept.
On that, otherwise, that's what she walks straight back into.
Correct.
So the reality is that the beauty with her is because she's had a breakthrough, she understood the language.
Yeah.
Where in the process she was saying to me, but I already know that. And I'm like, okay, you know that in your brain, but your brain is, you know, your brain... Your brain is trying to interpret what the senses are feeding it. The senses can only feed it things that are lopsided. You have circuitry that runs through your tongue, your nose, your eyes, your skin, and it sends electromagnetic impulses back to your brain to try to decipher what is going on. And your brain tells you what is going on, but your brain doesn't know what the fuck is going on. Your brain is only deciphering lopsided perceptions and information that are coming through the circuitry through your body, right?
Yeah, because it's filtering.
That's
so
right.
So it's only allowing for part of the information. Even though all the information's come in, it's filtered out all this other stuff. Yeah.
So the mind is the brain in action.
Yeah.
And you have to get out of your mind,
mm-hmm.
right? Because your brain is only sending information through electromagnetic impulses. Your brain is only receiving information and broadcasting information through electromagnetic pulses that come through your senses. But your brain lives in a fucking box that's completely dark. It can't see anything. It can't feel anything. It's just an interpreting system.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? So when you connect with your highest self and you're having a breakthrough, you're out of your fucking mind.
But do you think that might be what scares people? Or do you think that they don't even realize?
Well, people identify heavily with their sensory reality.
Yes.
Because they believe that they are an accumulation of everything that happens sensually.
Yeah.
But there's a hidden part of them that goes, but this doesn't make fucking sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they have this hidden knowing that's really? Like, that's why I'm down here?
Yeah.
I came down here to experience, you know...
Abandonment or somebody, or neglect.
Somebody putting their fingers inside of me, or somebody fucking, you know, somebody beating me up, or somebody leaving me.
And then I'm like 20, 30 years down the track and I'm still experiencing that.
Yeah.
Still.
And that stuff is still... and now my life is about learning how to cope with that. And get to the end of my life, like, coping with that. So I think what we spend our lives doing is trying to talk to that part of them but also talk to the higher part of them. Do you understand? And so, but people, doing PD work, it's a bit like you go out to dinner. I had this great analogy in Bali with Warren. And he said, you know, you think about it. Oh, it was actually Nat that said it. You go to dinner with your higher self. Right, you go to dinner with your higher self, and this is what PD work is kind of like. So I'm going to take your analogy, I'm going to apply it to PD work. You go out to dinner with your higher self. You go and meet your higher self. Your higher self is over the other side of the table, and you are meeting the highest theos, the highest energy, the highest source of who you are. You are meeting your beyond celestial self. You are meeting your infinite intelligence, and you go to that dinner table, and you sit down opposite your higher self. And you lug this bag of shit onto the table and say, can you help me with this? Can you show me how to understand this? Can you, you know, that's the fucking last thing you want to say to your higher self. What you want to be hunting for is, okay, how do I learn to dance with my higher self? How do I learn to build a beautiful relationship with my higher self? How do I learn to go out and connect and listen and, you know, and vibe with, and how do I learn how to just unify myself with my highest echelon of what I am in my energetic, absolute spiritual self? But people think the route to get there people think the thing that's in the way of them doing that is their stuff. When in actual fact, your stuff is the route to having, to being able to get there. You don't.
Well, people want to dance around their stuff instead of going through it. The going through the stuff is what gets you to the outcome of actually having a breakthrough.
Yeah.
You have to go through it.
So I know we got cut off there, but I think the issue that people have is that they want to dance around their stuff instead of going through their stuff. And the thing is that the breakthrough is only accessible when you go through what it is you need to deal with. That is your access point. Mm-hmm. Now, just like the client I was mentioning before, part of the, I think, the pushback or the resistance to that is that people feel like if they do go through it, then they're going to have to learn to manage all over again, learn to cope all over again. But just like you've been saying, that's not what we're being called to do. Yeah. We're not being called to manage anything or cope with anything.
Because what sort of a life is that?
That's not the life that, well.
But think about it.
Yeah.
Like what sort of a life is that?
Yeah.
You know, it's only
a half existence because because if you've got that wound, you have to keep that part of yourself away from everything that you're interacting, just because you're always at risk of reopening that wound.
But then
you're going out into the world like limited, because you're keeping that part of yourself away from interacting.
You have an injury.
Yeah.
You have a psychological injury.
Yeah.
Meaning that you have an internal, something that has happened to you that has created an internal judge and jury inside of you, and you're condemning yourself and others for it.
Yeah.
So now you're living a life of condemnation.
Yeah.
And instead of living a life of inspiration. And, I was just thinking about, remember, Altered States of Tara.
United States of Tara.
Okay, and it was a scene in it where she'd start hanging out with this other girl who was like, you know, new agey and da 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 da, and they really had a jab at what we're talking about, right? And the new agey girl was like, oh yeah, you know, I was raped when I was 15, but it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And then she looks as if to go, what? Like, when in actual fact, the reason we can hold this conversation about this is because every human being in deep down inside of themselves knows that they are not here to spend their life coping with something that occurred.
Mm.
Yeah, like you're just not, you know that. But the problem is that the more we identify with the delusion and the lie that we've told ourselves about what occurred, mm-hmm. right? And the more we keep compounding it, and the more you sit with someone that goes, tell me what happened, and just tell me again, and just how did that make you feel, and how did that, the more you fucking keep doing that, the more you are wiring into that person the belief that that is your fucking existence,
mm-hmm.
that is who you are and why it is you're here. And in actual fact, we know innately, every human being knows that there's a much more divine, higher, infinite reason as to why things go on. And that is really the pursuit. And that's what a breakthrough does.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you to that point of absolute understanding, remembering that understanding means standing under the eminence and the light of the divine part of your soul, looking back on your humanity and your existence and saying, thank you, I love you.
And that is not a conscious, like, you have a shift, but you don't get there, or it's not a conscious thing. It's not, you can't will yourself into doing that.
And the funny thing is, like, I can hear people's brains listening to this right now going, oh yeah, no, I know that what happened. No, I understand that what happened, and I get that
it was perfect.
And that's part of the fucking problem. That's your brain telling you that, and your brain is only an access to that understanding and knowing. And when you understand that stuff and you know that stuff, it's no longer even in your brain. It's no longer even part of your wiring. People come out of relationships and you go, I can't even see it that way. It's like, if I say, okay, go back to it, I can't even view it in the same way
because your whole lens and your whole perspective has shifted so much.
But neurologically.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you have severed a neural pathway in your brain, and you're not just severing one. The whole brain, because, you know, every neural pathway is linked to every neural pathway, and the purpose of it all is divinity and light and love, yeah. right? But if you sever a neural pathway here, you see it ripple through the whole effect of the brain. So the person has no memory of it the way it was.
It's completely shifted, and that's what I think people don't understand. So what's happening is the brain is through a process of breakthrough, you are taken through it to a place where you literally reshape how you view the neural pathways, and your network is altered, yeah. It's rewired, it's completely shifted. So you can't go back to viewing it the way you used to view it ever again.
And let me just say something there, watch. I can literally hear people listening to this going, yeah, but what you're saying is that what happened was good. No.
No.
What you're saying that happened was bad. No.
No.
I'm saying that there was more in there that you haven't seen.
We're saying that you chose to perceive what happened as you chose to perceive it. Whether it's good, bad, right, wrong, pleasure, pain, happy, sad, it doesn't matter. But the perception that you've created has created the life that you have. So if you've created the perception, then you can be in charge of creating a new perception of that thing.
Right. And if the perception you've had has created the life that you've got.
Had, yeah.
But you cannot create a new life based on the perception that created the one you're correct. Fucking in. So breaking through means you're breaking free. To break free, you have to break through.
And then your languaging can't discuss that breakthrough experience if it hasn't experienced it.
That's right.
And so
that's a really important point. See what you said there? That is so fucking important.
Well, this is what we argued with Joe Dispenza about.
You cannot talk about a fucking breakthrough
yes.
if you haven't had a fucking breakthrough.
Yeah.
You understand?
You literally cannot go there. You cannot have that that conversation about that breakthrough place unless you've experienced it.
So I had a woman in the last relationship in a year, and she said to me, and I love it when these things happen. She said, it was getting to the point where it was going to be her time.
Yeah.
And she said to one of the staff, I'm already there. I'm actually okay. I'm really good. I'm actually okay. And it's perturbation. You're at the point where you're watching other people get it and you're realizing, fuck.
I
got to
go there.
And when I went over, I knew she was struggling. So I went over and I grabbed her. And I said, okay, I'm gonna show you this. She goes, I'm actually okay. I'm good. I'm already there. And I know what you're. And I said, oh, that's great, because this is gonna be really fucking easy. If you're already there, then this, I promise you, that this is just gonna beautifully happen for you, and we're gonna get it from being there in your head to being a state of knowing, where you're no longer having to cope. And she sat down with me. And when, like, she saw it, she pushed back, and then when I got her, helped her to see it, because she saw it, right? That you have to see it. It's not nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm just facilitating your moment of seeing it. When she saw it, she was like, oh my God. And she was like, my whole understanding of my whole reality has evolved. Like, it's just, I'm just in a new state of mind. And I'm like, that's right, you're out of your mind, you're out of your old state of mind, and the mind is the brain in action. So your mind cannot change without your brain changing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's
that's the whole thing, is it's a full shift.
Yeah, it's a complete neurological transformation.
So what I wanted to say is, the fact that, it is impossible in my view to conceptualize a breakthrough without having had a breakthrough, right?
Yeah.
So the best we can do is talk around it to help people to understand what it is before they have had the experience of it. And the way that I would challenge people, I think, to really get that they're there and that they've had that breakthrough is, number one, that they look back on that experience and they don't see it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, that they would choose to relive that experience, their life, up until this point, because they know that everything that happened was exactly as it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they would also let their children go through exactly mm-hmm. what they went mm-hmm. through.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who tell me that they've had a breakthrough, oh, I'm there, I'll go, would you let your child go through that? No. And I'm not, when I say that, I'm not saying, hey, I'm just going to sit back and whatever happens.
Feed your child to the
wolves. Yeah, that's not what we're saying. We're just saying, if that was your child's path to experience that, and they had to do that, would that be, is that okay? And the most beautiful thing for me is, and we've just recently come out of an event, and I had one of the ladies look at me at one point, and it was that adult version of her who had held on to this story for so long. And as she was talking to me about it, I don't think she'd ever told anybody about what had happened.
Oh, yeah.
She looked at me and she said, I can't do this, Mills. And I went, well, you're actually right here. That shows me you can, and you're here and you want that. Like, there's a part of you is worried about what the outcome is, but the other part of you, the bigger part of you, is sitting in this chair because you know you can, and we've got this. And at the end, she just put her head on my shoulder and sobbed and was like, oh my God.
Mm.
I did not think that that was possible. I'd held that in, not spoken to a soul about that for all of her life.
Mm.
And here she was, completely broken through, completely in a different state.
Mm.
Would you have your child experience? Yes, I would. Would you go through it? Absolutely, I would. Were you loved? 100%, I was loved.
Mm.
And there is nothing greater for me than that moment when a person, particularly who feels like they, the idea of going through the stuff is something that they have avoided for so long because they've tried to not let that wound reopen, not realizing that that wound has been open the whole time and they're living this half life anyway because they're so afraid of exposing that wound that they're not fully living, you know, so it's affecting them anyway. And I just, I you know, somebody asked us at the end of the event, how do you guys go home and not consider this as a problem or a tragedy or trauma? And we're like, I can't, I literally cannot see it as trauma. And the reason being is because these people are in this room. They have said yes to having a breakthrough. They have committed to going through the process and being taken through a process. And what is on the side of, on the other side of that is so beautiful and so profound that where is this trauma? Just because they might have to say a few things or relive a couple, I know what's on the other side of that.
Well, I think what people don't realize about trauma is that trauma is a physical, trauma is a visceral response, a physiological response to the inability to see the divinity in what happened to them.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So the trauma is not, trauma is the body trying to get you back into equanimity.
Yeah.
It's trying to get you back, but people think trauma is bad. And it's, there is no such thing as trauma. And I know that some people are sitting there thinking,
No, there's no
such thing as fucking trauma.
Well, there's a perception of trauma.
Well, we had to label it something,
and the thing is that perception, the perception of trauma is my viewpoint is that I have labeled this thing more minus than plus.
Right. Yeah.
And that's okay. If that's how you've needed to get through and you needed to label it more minus, fine. But as you progress through life, and you recognize that this perception of what happened is now impacting how you go in relationships, how you live your life, your career, your money, your friendships, everything, then what if we could shift that perception and your life shifts? That's all it is. Mm. It's like we're not saying that the thing didn't happen. Of course it happened. But you have no control over what happened. All you can do is you can control how you perceive what happened. So all we're saying is if your vantage point was X, make your vantage point Y and look at it differently and then your whole world shifts. Mm. That requires a breakthrough.
But and then the other thing is that you have to do that.
Yeah. Oh, we don't do it. We facilitate that.
No one else can do that. You have to do it.
Yeah.
But you have to...
Such a simple thing as well. It's just a process.
But people are addicted... Well, the more people tell themselves the lie, the more that becomes a part of their existence and their reality. And then they fucking believe it.
And they'll defend it to the death.
The problem is that birds of a feather flock together. So then they hang out with other people that do the same stuff. You know, and they identify with the story because it allows them to feel pitied. It allows them to feel loved, understood. It has a payoff. It's like I say all the time, failure has a fucking payoff. It's why you keep doing it. But the thing is that transformation also has a payoff. But if you're not meant to transform, it's okay.
That's also okay.
If this is meant to be your journey, that's okay.
So what would you say, because we've been chatting a while now, and I want us to, I think I want us to lean in maybe on the next podcast on that transformation piece and how we experience that in our lives, right? But just finishing up on the breakthrough thing, we've discussed my point of view of what, how we know we've actually broken through, that you can't see it the same way, that you would relive it again. You'd have, you know, you understand that you're loved. You would have your children relive it if that was required. What would you say to somebody who still either conceptually thinks that they've had a breakthrough, or thinks that their life is what it is. What's the point of going through that process or having that? What would you say to someone who's somebody who's completely blind to it, Mitch? You can't talk to that person, right? Because that person is completely blind. They've got, they haven't been awoken to the fact that there must be another way to see things, right? So I'm talking about somebody who goes, I feel like I'm reliving these cycles, these patterns. I understand that there's got to be another way, but I can't see another way. So I might as well just stay doing the best that I can with what I've got. What would you say to someone who's kind of aware that there's something else on the precipice in some way, but just doesn't understand how to make that leap?
Well, I
think because they can't do it themselves, obviously.
No matter what choice you make, it's the right choice.
Because if you're meant to stay in the story and perception, that's okay. Yeah.
That's okay.
100%.
But I think it gets back to, the whole concept of, you know, you have to listen to the calling
inside of you.
You have to listen. Do you want to get? There's two of you at the end of your life.
Yeah, two options.
Two of you. One of you is, I spent my life being a victim of my history. The other one is, I spent my life and I mastered my destiny.
Yeah.
And I mastered my destiny by seeing that my history had left me tons of clues. And I took those clues and I took that awakening and that awareness and it made me a better human being.
Yeah.
And I got to the end of this knowing that I didn't get trapped.
Yeah.
I didn't get caught. You know, it's that great fucking line by Paul Bailey. I say it all the time and I just love it. Life invites a greater legacy of you than getting to your deathbed safely and comfortably and without any form of challenge. You know, if you're listening to this, you fucking know. You know that, it heard you. It heard you. This is the call. How many times does it have to call you to say, what happened to you was a gift?
You know, to finish off, I am eternally grateful that I have the ability to do that. I have it at my fingertips. So firstly, I got spoken through that process and I went through that process and I had my breakthrough. But now not only do I have that tool at my finger, because we co-created that together, we have that tool at our fingertips. We have people that have come through that are so inspired by it and have their lives been so affected by it that they are now training and in the process to help facilitate, because it's a licensed and registered and trademark process. So they spend so much time learning, because it's so nuanced, right? They spend so much time learning it so that they can facilitate it with others. So we've got accredited team that actually know our process. I am so grateful to you for stepping out on the edge and actually putting yourself out there and creating a seminar where we could facilitate that for people. And out of, you know, there is nothing that if I have ever in my life said to anybody, the one gift you could give yourself, I would say do relationships in you. Because relationships in you gives you that experience of that breakthrough like nothing else will. And I don't know anything, and I've done lots of stuff. I've done lots of PD work and I've done lots of work with the big wigs. Nothing comes close to the experience of relationships.
And even the big wigs will tell you.
Exactly.
Listen, we're great. We got lots of great information, but have a breakthrough.
Have a breakthrough and do this. And you can't talk yourself into the breakthrough. You can't meditate yourself into the
breakthrough. Or read, or listen, or podcast.
You actually have to be facilitated through that breakthrough, because your brain will keep trying to keep you in that same loop. And then, obviously, during COVID, the fact that when we couldn't physically do relationships in you in person, that I'm so proud of us for coming up with a way to facilitate that breakthrough online for people. And for me, that And our relationships are new stalwarts, the crew, the people, like all of our team who are so loyal to relationships. And you're like, oh, no, you can't get them to do. People could not do that online. People couldn't have a breakthrough online. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. we created it in such a way that mm-hmm. we could show them that mm-hmm. not only could you have it online, but you could have it en masse mm-hmm. rather than as an mm-hmm. individual. And I just think that anybody who is out there searching for that, if you haven't attended relationships in you, that's the place to go.
100%.
And then if you are non-local or if you have attended relationships in you and you want another breakthrough, Flip the Script is the way to go. Yep. Because you can relationships in you can only do once. Flip the Script you can continue to do. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And it's, you know, it's interesting to be able to sit in front of a screen and watch 50 people break through in one conversation.
It's so cool.
And just watch them fucking
and actually not have that thing hold them back ever again. It's just phenomenal. So breakthrough is where it's at. Love it.